This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Intern Ryan's got the Periscope up, the podcast recording in case you missed any of the show, as we get set to come in. What is it today? Tuesday, June 8th. Getting set to talk sports and more things. Cameron, how are you?
I'm alive.
You better today or worse? You coming back up yet, or are you still going lower?
I'm trying to just focus on the Hawks. It's all that matters in life.
You know, I got to say, the energy, I'm not liking the energy, but if you were this way for game one, maybe just keep it. Maybe if you're this way for game one, just keep it. You don't seem like a guy that's up 1-0. You look a lot like Rick Butler did yesterday when he came in, and Rick arguing with me on the internet, just typing his little heart out. You know Rick's mad when he's sending like three messages in a row. Three tweets in a row to me. No, I'm not owned, I'm not mad. This is ridiculous, John. You seemed like you were on a losing team, but you're not, Cam, you're on a winning team.
I am.
Just keep that in mind. But maybe just keep the energy low. I don't know, maybe it worked for game one, so we'll see. So nice.
You want to just go ahead and trade for Deion Jones or something? Yeah, I feel like that's the key.
I mean, whatever you need to do. Whatever you need to do. I don't like seeing you this way, but we might have to keep you sad if the Hawks win again tonight. So we'll monitor. We're monitoring the situation. But nice to know you're still here with us. I was a little worried about you yesterday, but I'm a little less worried today. Draven, how are you?
Doing good. Can't complain.
Okay. That's all you got for me?
Yeah.
All right, good deal.
I hate this heat, though, man. I cannot stand this heat.
What happened to getting the puppies out and you wanted to be warm?
No, man. It's raining, it's humid, it's sticky outside. You walk out, you're freaking sweaty already 2 minutes in. It's like, come on. This is ridiculous. Whoever says they like summer is completely lying. Unless you're at the beach or next to a body of water the whole time, it sucks. It sucks. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Who are you telling, buddy?
Cars all hot, man. It's like you can't get away from it. You can't. You can't escape it. It's a nightmare.
You can get a popsicle.
Mm-hmm.
Chill out.
Doesn't do the justice, you know?
Get somebody to rub ice all over you.
That would be nice. Or somebody just fan you.
Let's do an ice bath.
One of those big Leafs.
Well, I'm sorry that you rooted for the Heat. Now the Heat's here, and now you're upset about the Heat.
Yeah.
typical.
What do you know, huh?
Typical Southerner.
What do you know?
Around April, they start really begging, please heat it up, Mother Nature, heat it up. Give us 80 degrees. No, not too far. 88's too hot. No.
Well, that's how it goes, man. Well, we completely skip spring. It's ridiculous.
No, we had a long spring.
No,
we had a long
man,
spring.
Maybe longer than usual. It was like 2 weeks,
no,
3 weeks.
We had a good month of good solid weather. Not too hot. Trust me, I'm someone who complains about the heat more than anybody, and I haven't found it unbearable yet. I mean, I was out there at baseball games just chilling. Been outside. Usually I don't go outside at all. Just been vibing.
God, I'm about sick of these Titans tweets. AJ Brown, number 11, till I retire. I tried to give it up and he wouldn't take it. Respect. Okay, we get it, AJ. We get it.
That's where we're starting. You're mad about the Titans already?
It's all over Twitter, man. It's all you see. Like, poor Cam can't hardly even open up a social media app right now.
Well, if that's the route you would have taken and made it about your friend Cam instead of making it about
yourself. Oh, yeah, I'm worried about Cam.
You made it about yourself.
And it frustrates me, too, because I know how, you know, down Cam is.
Yeah. I understand. Again, if you would have made it about Cam, maybe I would respect it, but instead you made it about yourself. You're mad that A.J. Brown tweeted that he's keeping the number 11. Are they that far in your head? You're a Cowboys fan. We're not even in the same conference, bro.
It's That's all you see. Literally everything. All
it,
over the place.
We're the it team right now. We're the topic of conversation in the NFL right now. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will get traded and it'll change.
Maybe.
Right now, the Titans hopefully. Are, Titans are primetime topics.
I guess this is nice. I mean, when has anybody been talking about the Titans in
when
June?
When they were what 5-0 last year, 6-0, and people were talking about being great, and Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards. And
I said during the off season. When are people talking about the Titans during the off season?
Well, last year when they signed the biggest free agent available. This is 2 years in a row. I mean, really, it's 2 years in a row they've gotten the marquee name on the market. Now we'll see.
Man, Rob Robinson really just killing it, ain't he? Move after move.
I mean, I think so. When you look at the offense he inherited versus the offense he's created, went from.
I would say it all balances out for him.
Went from Marcus Mariota and Rishard Matthews to, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I'd say he feels pretty good about his job.
Well, I mean, they had Derrick Henry.
Not in 2015 when he took over the job.
Just saying. Mariota had Derrick Henry for a while. They just never used him.
Because Mariota wasn't good enough to stretch the defense out.
Either way.
All those things.
Either way.
Yeah, either way. John Robinson does feel good. I would say he does feel like the man. Showed up to welcome Julio off the plane wearing flip-flops. Apparently, the story now is that he was on a pontoon boat in the lake on Saturday just getting the deal done. I go back and forth on how I feel about John Robinson as a whether or not he's cool or not. Like him and Mike Vrabel up there dancing the Florida Georgia line for the jersey reveal. I go back and forth how I feel about that as a as just a cool dude. But I think he's good at his job. He's not perfect. He's got some misses. I didn't want to start the show off Titans talk. Why do you always do this?
Have to vent the first segment.
They're that far in your head.
No,
and again,
not
you're
really,
a,
but
you're a Cowboys fan. I don't understand why they're so far in your head. I get it if you're a Colts fan. I get it. You know, I get it that Cam's upset. He lost his boy. I don't get why you're upset as a Cowboys fan. It's not like you're going to lose the division to us. We're not the Redskins / football team. Which, by the way, did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick today looking good? Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick's looking good.
28%.
Is he?
Yep. Looking good.
Were you going to do this again? You're going to go down the same path of believing in Ryan Fitzpatrick and then him getting benched halfway through the season like he literally does every single year? Or comes up short by the end of the season like he did with the Jets?
I'm going to go down the same path of being right about Washington winning the division. Check the tape from last year.
Come on, buddy.
Check the tape from last year.
Didn't you just say yesterday you were, I'm all in on the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, no, I jumped off.
Cowboys are my Super Bowl team.
Cam will attest. I put Washington as my sleeper team, and then I've been in the Cowboys, obviously, after like week two, and we saw the defense. But yeah, I mean, even when they were like, 3-7, I was telling you they're going in the division or whatever they were. It's not like that Washington team.
No, John, not Washington.
I mean, we do this every time with Fitzpatrick, do we not? Like, come on.
I'm not picking Washington to win the division because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Me and Cam love Taylor Heinicke, too.
Gosh, that dive.
Big Taylor Heinicke guy.
They could start Taylor Heinicke and still get them a division championship.
It's good stuff right there.
So I don't know why
that's
you're
hilarious.
Upset. I get why Colts fans are upset. I get why they're sick. They're trying to meme it out of existence. Now all of a sudden they didn't want Julio Jones. They're very comfortable with, Paris Campbell as their number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Very comfortable.
T.Y.
Yeah, they want to call Julio old.
Michael Pittman.
They want to call Julio old and injury prone as they trot out T.Y. Hilton. The irony is thick there. I get why they're upset. Jaguars fans, they're not paying attention. They're watching AEW. Texans fans are just constantly looking at the police blotter, see if anything else comes up about Deshaun. So they're not focused on it. I don't get why you're sick.
Like I said, feel bad for my friend over there, Cam.
Let me tell you something a wise man once told me.
Okay, here we go.
Choose joy, Draven. Mm. Choose joy. Just be happy. Ooh, that's tough for Virginia. Got the second guy, but scaled up the lead. Big college baseball guys now. Did you watch any of that LSU game last night? LSU-Oregon to see who we were going to play? That was a pretty fun game and a pretty lame atmosphere.
I mean, Eugene.
Is it just completely different? Like, I'm not going to act like, Tennessee's had this great atmosphere for, a decade. Obviously, we're kind of new to this. But, like, Oregon was a top 10 team in the country. You'd think they'd be, like, used to it by the end of the year. Like, why are they not there? Is it just, like, is SEC baseball just on a different level, like SEC football kind of, like, where we just take everything so seriously?
Has to be, right?
Yeah, they don't take it as serious over on the West Coast, I don't think.
Like, no sports or just basketball? Or, I mean, they care about, like, the Pac-12 basketball,
yeah, they'll,
right?
They'll come out for basketball. Speaking of Oregon-wise, I've never heard of them being big, you know, packing the stadium for baseball, but...
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, I was just...
And they may still have some restrictions over there, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to wonder about capacity and everything.
I don't know if that was the case, but... Because, I mean, like, they still were packing... Like, the home plate was still, like, on top of each other.
Yeah, it was.
Now, there were a lot of LSU fans there, you know, behind home plate, but it was like they were socially distanced.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some vaccine records or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. But, yeah, I was just surprised that there was just no real atmosphere there. Mm-hmm. Again, for a top 10 team in the country trying to advance. They didn't. LSU won. Man, what an implosion by Oregon. If you guys didn't watch the game, Oregon was up in the eighth inning, and then just the umpire started squeezing the pitcher, just caught 11 straight balls. Mm. You give up a balk to I don't know if it was the go-ahead run. I think it was the go-ahead run that scored on the balk. Or maybe the second run that ended up being the difference in the game.
I'm not a baseball guy. Like, I still don't understand what the hell a balk is. I will never, like, they were trying to explain it during the UT game at one point.
Essentially.
And it's just like, what the hell are they talking about?
Essentially, you just can't try to fool the runner by pretending like you're going home and then throw it to first. But, like, that wasn't even what the guy did wrong. Well, first of all, the pitcher was rattled because he threw over to first base, like, 8 times, and the guy was, like, standing on first base. The guy was not trying to steal. Like, he hadn't stolen the base. Like, he wasn't going to run himself into an out, like, there with two outs. But apparently the first baseman wasn't on the base, which meant it was just – which made it a balk. Again, I don't fully understand it either. Like, I didn't know the first base rule. Like, I know that, like, you can't start motion to home plate and then try to throw it over
or
step off because, like, that's trying to fool the runners. But, yeah, people were saying it was because the first baseman wasn't actually, like, over there trying to hold the guy on. Like, the pitcher basically just
threw it to him.
Yeah, just got stopped in his motion and, like, he just choked, essentially. Like, he had he was bothered by the moment and choked. Mm. Bad way to lose if you're Oregon. So now LSU gets to come to Knoxville. LSU swept in Knoxville earlier this year. Kind of, you know, got the season started for Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we weren't still sure how we felt about this baseball team or just, I guess, how good they were going to be. I think we all, you know, were rooting for the team. But you didn't know how, you know, if you were going to be able to withstand, you know, your best pitcher going out, you know, last year losing Crochet. Are we going to have the same magic? We still didn't really know. This team wasn't picked, you know, highly preseason. But then the LSU, you know, I want to say, was the first SEC weekend, right?
I want to say.
No, I guess you'd beaten Georgia. You took two out of three of Georgia on the road. It was your first home SEC series. And then, you beat LSU on Friday. You blow a lead on Saturday, get a rain delay, come back and beat them in a doubleheader, basically, on Sunday. And, you know, their manager is upset, talking about how mean Knoxville is. And that kind of set the tone. Well, that kind of set the tone for home games this year. Like, it kind of made the ball creatures a thing, or the legends of Lindsey Nelson, like whatever they're called. Like, it kind of set the tone for them kind of being a thing. And, you know, Tennessee was pretty damn good at home this year. I mean,
they didn't even have full capacity at that point, right? That was not even close. That was
I believe the numbers were 1,100. I think we were one-fourth capacity, 25%. So, you know. Yeah. We're going to be above 4,000 this weekend. We'll see, like, how many bleachers and standing room tickets they sell. But, like, I would imagine we're going to be close to 5,000 at least.
Ooh, way more mean.
Now, yeah, maybe the students, the legends, aren't going to be there. Maybe they're all gone for the summer, so maybe it won't be as bad. But, I mean, like, it's going to be a very important series, to say the least, as Tennessee tries to get to Omaha. And you got some built-in storylines. Like, I don't know if you'd have been able to muster up enough hate for Oregon.
Yeah.
But I think whenever we're going to see these LSU managers' quotes the entire week, and you got one of their baseball players already tweeting, like, to his dad, like, see you in Omaha. Like, it's a conference rivalry.
You're not a little nervous about it, though.
Am I nervous about it?
I mean, the Maneri, like, farewell tour, basically. Like, I mean, his last little run.
I mean, I think it's
a good baseball team, an SEC team. Like, I think I would have much rather played Oregon.
I think it seems funner to retire him. And, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's fair, but it's also, you know.
You believe in destiny?
A little bit.
Okay. I mean.
And just some motive, like, a little extra motivation, the whole.
I don't buy in that. That's what, you know, again, not to cross sports, but, like, the last time I saw it was a a Hawks beat writer was talking about, and you know, after the Capella comments before Game 5, about giving the Knicks bulletin board material. And I was like, so what are they going to do, try hard in a playoff game? Like
down 3-1 or whatever it was?
I was being like, are they going to try hard? They weren't going to try hard before? Like, if they weren't going to try hard before, like, I don't think somebody saying they're sending them on vacation is going to make them try hard. Like, if LSU doesn't want to go to Omaha and they need extra motivation because Tennessee was mean to them or their manager's retiring, like, I just don't buy into that. I think, you know, at this point, you're going to try to win the games as, you know, as much as you can. The only time, like, in the postseason you'll see that not happen is the NIT. Whenever the big schools are like, okay, it's time to go on spring break. Time to bag it up. This is going on our spring break. We don't want to win the NIT. We're going home. And then you'll have the smaller schools have more motivation. Otherwise, like, teams want to win. I don't buy into that. Now, again, like, the storybook, and I get it from a perspective of, like, oh, man, I don't want to be watching ESPN. I believe ESPN 2 is getting the games. LSU being delayed a game and LSU having to travel across the country allows a flex option, and now the game is not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's Saturday, Sunday. There'll be no Monday, but hypothetically, if LSU somehow miraculously beats Tennessee, there will be a game 3 on Monday to see who goes to Omaha. But, again, they're going to try hard. But if you're at home watching on ESPN 2 or ESPNU, and you're annoyed at how often the cameras find Maneri to talk about his, like, career and stuff and his timeline and about him retiring, that I understand because they are going to show that ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I'll say will be annoying. Otherwise, like, LSU was disappointing all year. Oregon was better than them. I think we're getting a lesser team. LSU's pitching isn't good enough. Their best pitcher is not going to be available this weekend. So, like, I think Tennessee should advance. Tennessee, actually, Draven, has the second best odds to win the whole thing.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Really?
According to updated odds, yeah. The Arkansas, which that was a pretty fun game last night. For a little bit, you thought maybe Nebraska could beat them, but Arkansas's too good. Man, Copps came in the third inning and just pitched the whole way. Mm-hmm. He doesn't throw, like, very hard. It's a lot of cutters and sliders and stuff, but, like, I mean, as a relief guy just coming in and just, okay, I'm going to go 7 innings. Now, we'll see, because I don't know what his, like, prospects are. I don't feel like he's a MLB pitcher. In fact, like, Keith Law, who ranks all the prospects, had him outside of his top 100, like, and just said, like, he's taking advantage of college batters. Like, this junk isn't going to work against, like, professionals. But right now he's a dominant college pitcher, and he was able to put the team on his back like he has really the whole year. And Arkansas got a big home run in the eighth, so they win. Arkansas right now the favorite at plus 330. Tennessee, the second best odds to win it all right now at 5-1, plus 505.
I think that's just coming out of that tough region. Is that what that is? Because, I mean, didn't they have, like, what, fourth or fifth?
It might be also, like, LSU. I don't know where LSU is going to rank, like, compared to these other teams that are, you know, going and playing against, like, say, like, who Vanderbilt's playing, who has the third best odds, or who Texas is playing, who has the fourth best odds. I don't know, like, how good those teams are, how good their opponent is. Because LSU was, like, an outside the top 25 team. Like, it was an upset that they got out of Eugene. But, yeah, right now Tennessee with the second best odds to win the whole thing. Why did I bring that up? We talked about being scared. What was it? What was that in response to? I don't remember how I got there, but I had a point. Either way, this is an update. Like, Tennessee gets through, and, you know, maybe on another collision course for Arkansas again. I don't know. I saw a lot of Tennessee fans hoping they would get knocked out, which makes sense. Like, if they would have gotten knocked out, Tennessee might be the title favorite right now, according to these odds, I guess.
Yeah.
But I believe you had, what, 5 SEC teams make the Sweet 16? The Super Regionals?
Yeah.
So the conference continues to be really good at the sport. Let's go to break. We're off and running. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Looking at the upcoming weekend of SEC baseball. Yeah, so you got Vanderbilt advancing to play East Carolina. So ECU is the number 11 team in the country. So that kind of explains why Tennessee has better title odds than them, because ECU is more likely to beat Vanderbilt than LSU is Tennessee. Notre Dame, Mississippi State, that'll be a fun one in Starkville. Arkansas, North Carolina State, LSU and Tennessee, of course, and then Arizona, hosting in Arizona against Ole Miss. So that's where your SEC teams are. I don't know how I feel about this new ticket method I feel like we're setting ourselves up for a big headache as baseball tickets go on sale tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get them is to call the ticket office like it's 1992.
Oh, jeez. Why? Why are they doing it that way?
Davey said maybe because the website crashed. But like, I don't know of anybody really having that big of an issue with the website crashing. Like, I was able to get on pretty soon after and get it. Like, it took a second, but was mm-hmm. able to. Now, maybe for others it crashed, but like, the tickets sold out within 30 minutes. I don't know how many people they put on putting to work tomorrow over in the ticket office, but if they don't have like a whole gaggle of people, I'd imagine there's going to be long wait times. And
I was about to say, that's a disaster, man. That is a disaster.
Please don't take this the wrong way if you are older, but I don't know if how smoothly it's going to go, people trying to find their debit cards to complete these orders and get them. Maybe it's the same thing for online. Like, hey, we're able to do this and get it online. I don't know. Oof. Maybe they're able to do that just as easily.
It sounds like it's going to be a mess.
I mean, it sounds like I can already feel the frustration of a busy tone.
Mm-hmm.
Just nonstop a busy
being
tone.
Put on hold and just waiting.
Is there anything worse, mm-hmm. man? Just sitting there on the phone, listening to the little music or whatever, waiting.
Yes. I would say a busy tone is worse. Or the automated customer service menu, and you're trying to just keep you're trying to hit zero, just talk to an operator, and it's like, you sorry, you can't do that, goodbye. And I'm like, what? And then you have to start over, and then you're hitting them, and you're screaming at the phone, and they want you to talk, and they don't understand you. Operator, help me. And then I start cussing. I just say, I hate you. Though it's worse. The hold music isn't great, I will give you that, but the busy tone is just so infuriating. So infuriating.
What's the longest you guys have stayed on the phone on hold?
Over an hour before.
Over an hour?
Yeah. Man. At a certain point it just became on principle, and you just put the phone on speakerphone and set it down. Like,
is that what it is? You're like, they're not gonna get me, because that's what it is, man. They're just hoping mm-hmm. you hang up, right? That's the goal.
They don't want to answer it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. So 5,000 people are gonna be ringing the phone lines, is what you're telling me.
I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, the tickets have sold out online within an hour. So, I mean, like, pretty much within 30 minutes, really, of every time they open up new ones or, open up mm-hmm. something else. And, my goodness, Old Dominion, what are you doing? This pitcher is through back-to-back wild pitches to give up the tying run in the bottom of the eighth. I guess that is the bad thing about baseball, college baseball especially, between this Oregon game yesterday and this game right now. If you are a pitcher that can't handle the moment, there is nowhere to hide.
And you can tell when they can't handle the moment.
Yeah, there is nowhere to hide.
He hit the net straight in a row twice.
The first one was in the grass, in the dirt, I guess I should say, and the second one was 3 feet over the catcher's head as he just, like I said, two wild pitches in a row to give up the lead. We call that a collapse. And again, there's nowhere to hide for him. Mm-hmm. Just like the Oregon guy who was out there balking. He's got to sit there and lick his lips like he's not – like the whole team doesn't hate him. I did feel a little bad. I'm not going to lie, for the Wright State pitcher. They gave up the Grand Slam on Friday. I was like, I can't imagine that's a good feeling for him, because you saw all the teammates just walking off the field dejected.
Yeah. He was kind of choking a little bit too, man. You could just kind of tell. With that crowd,
bases,
too.
Like,
I mean, crowd getting fired up. Yeah, no. I mean, that's tough.
No, the pressure gets to him. Like I said, a college pitcher in a bad atmosphere does seem to be a bad place, because there's nowhere to hide. But anyways, we'll see how this ticket situation goes. I'm interested to see how quickly they sell out, how it works. Is this a misstep by Danny White? Is this the right way to do it? The spin is that, hey, this will help keep the hands out of ticket scalpers, which I don't necessarily understand, because ticket scalpers have phones as well. Like, it's not like you can't pick up the phone and call. I don't understand how it keeps your hands out of ticket scalpers. And I don't feel like ticket scalpers were really an issue this weekend. The tickets were hot this weekend. I mean, I didn't feel like, there wasn't, like, any empty seats for people not gouging. And, like, the most expensive tickets you saw online were just, like, $100. I mean, it wasn't like they were setting something crazy. Now, maybe the ticket would be a little hotter this weekend, but it's not like Tennessee didn't already raise the price from $70 to $90. For less games.
Yep.
Because, I mean, last week you got seven games. potential, at least six. This time, you know, you're maxed out at three. So, I mean, they're all hustling. We'll see. Maybe it keeps LSU fans from being able to get them, although, again, they have phones and the internet as well, so, like, they can easily see, just call this number. Who knows? A max of four, which will, I guess that I understand. That will keep the scalping down a bit because if you get eight and you only need four, you can easily sell the other four online. So the max, I understand, gives people a better chance of getting in. Sorry if you have a family of five. That sucks for you. You got to make a decision of which kid you like the most.
Which one's staying at
home? Go to your friend's house.
Yeah. Let's go watch the game. Yeah, go watch the game at home. Vitello wants his bleachers. We'll see how many tickets they actually sell. Hopefully we pack it out. Got to say, you know, I know we hate Arkansas, but as Harambe 420-69 points out, Fayetteville was crazy last night. That atmosphere was pretty wild. And he said he really wants to see what our crowd looks like after renovations. It'll be tough for us to match Arkansas's vibe last night. I mean, that was a madhouse. I'm not saying we can't do it, but that was fun to watch that. And again, I know we want them to lose, but it looked like the funnest place in the world to be last night.
Yeah, they take their baseball pretty serious down there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize apparently they've won like the SEC in like 10 sports this year, this calendar year.
Yeah,
apparently they're just dominating the SEC.
They're rolling.
Right now.
They swept track.
Yeah,
with men's and women's.
And then even in basketball, finished second.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they, Arkansas, because, you know, David Ubbin wrote that article yesterday about how Arkansas should go to the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
How the sports are suffering because they're in the SEC, which he's not wrong about football. Like, Arkansas would be a bigger fish in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But all their fans were mad. Like, of course you want us to go. We've got all these titles. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize you guys have won everything. Yeah. Not football. You stink
at
football. You
could say at least football's on the rise a little bit, right?
I mean, yes, on the rise a little bit from losing. How many conference games they lose in a row under Chad Morris? So, yes, they are on the rise a little bit. But
that's more about Chad Morris, how bad of a coach he is.
Well, Brett Bielema wasn't great either.
No.
I'm not disagreeing with your take. They are on the rise. But, again, they were at the very, very bottom. So, I don't know how far up they'll go. They've been pretty awful since Bobby Petrino left. But yeah, they didn't realize they're just dominating. They're just the best at track, too, Cam. I think you told me that earlier this year.
They're really good at that. They have crazy nice facilities, too. So,
well, the baseball looks really nice, and hopefully Tennessee gets there. It's a good opportunity. I'm excited for this weekend. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Anything else about baseball either one of any of you guys want to say? We know who we play now. LSU. Trying to retire a legend. It's Vitello's chance to kind of cement himself.
Saturday,
nationally.
Right?
Say it again? Yep.
Saturday.
Yep. Saturday on ESPN2.
Actually going to be on TV.
Oh.
Wow. What do you know?
All the gnashing of the teeth and complaining worked. That was annoying this weekend. There's so much baseball, guys. Like,
yeah.
The fact they put it on ESPN3. Like,
but still, I mean, we talked like it wasn't this the toughest region. This is the region of death.
That can be true, but also say that, like, none of the other teams were a draw. I mean, there's teams.
Duke. They gained a little bit of a draw.
In baseball?
More than some of these other damn teams. Whoever the hell.
I mean,
Arkansas was playing New Jersey Tech or whatever the hell their team
Were they on ESPN too? But I mean, Arkansas is a draw though. Like, Arkansas is a bigger draw than Tennessee when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're new to this. We have to earn our stripes here. Just my opinion. Like, yes, New Jersey Institute of Technology or whatever.
That's it.
Like that was a pretty bad team. Although they were up early.
Yeah, they were.
They were
was
up
it
early.
2-0, right?
Yeah, it looked like okay, maybe Arkansas is going to have some jitters. They didn't play well in their regional, but they still able to advance through.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get the nerves out. Maybe they'll get back on track, or maybe they'll choke. Who knows? But yeah, we get TV now, but there's just a lot of games. And no, I don't think Duke baseball or Liberty baseball or Wright State baseball is a big draw.
Nope.
But now you got your wish. We're on TV. Anything else about baseball? We've said our piece. Okay, what do you want to talk about next?
NBA?
Go ahead.
A little association?
You already started yelling at me before the show.
I just think you owe me an apology, John. That's all it is. I just think you owe me an apology.
What do I owe you an apology for?
Because I was right.
What were you right about?
And, you know, I don't like to brag when I'm right. You guys know that. I don't like to, you know, toot my own horn, whatever, but I was right.
What were you right about?
I told you the Nets.
You said the Nets were going to sweep the Bucks.
Yes.
It is 2-0. They are headed back to Milwaukee.
They just beat them by how many points?
They won. They were up 2-0.
25 plus 14.
It was 41.
My God.
Do they get to start up 41 in game three?
No, they won by 39, actually.
39, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they get to start 39 points up in game three?
No, they don't.
Okay.
But it was also the biggest win in Nets franchise playoff history.
I mean, that's fine. That's a great performance by the Nets.
Just stop it. You know the Bucks are a bunch of runner-ups, man. Like, we keep doing this. Even me. Hell, I thought, hey, the Bucks might have a shot. They do. But no. Giannis is literally a runner-up. Chris Middleton is not even an all-star. He's not an all-star.
All of these things you're saying.
He's not a good number two.
All of these things that you're saying, I'm not disputing. Now, I will say I think you're a little premature on a sweep call. I still think Milwaukee can easily go home and win two games and still lose a series in six or seven. Like, I do think that is still on the table. And if that were to happen, then you have to double apologize to me?
No. Ooh. I don't think so.
You don't have to double apologize to me for if I give you this apology for you said I called you a fool off the air. I didn't call you a fool. I didn't say – I don't think I call anybody
pretty harsh.
A fool. No, I just said I thought Milwaukee would shoot better in game two, and they didn't. They shot poor again, and – Chris Middleton, woof, buddy.
Scrub. He's a scrub. How many times we got to, like, see this for us to start believing it, honestly? Guy always does this in the playoffs, literally, every single time. Raptors, Heat, now this series.
Started out, what, 0 for 7?
Jeez.
0 for 8 in the first half, and then hit, like, 6 straight shots. You're like, okay, his numbers look better now, but you're still down 20-something points. I mean, the key to this series is, I mean, well, no James Harden, obviously, but, like, if Blake Griffin's going to be the fourth best player on the court, like, it's going to be a bloodbath, and Blake Griffin's been the fourth best player on the court. Like, I know the numbers weren't great last night, but, I mean, he turned into this perfect energy glue guy that makes the right basketball play and just, you know, was really, really good again last night. Dominated game one and was good again in limited minutes yesterday because he didn't have to play a lot because they dominated him from the jump. So you make this about Chris Middleton. So not about Giannis.
I do think there is a little bit about Giannis. I mean, shooting 2 for 7 from the free throw line. What is this guy doing?
Looked like Luka out there on his free throws.
Luka's a little bit better.
I think Luka went 0 for 5 a couple the last series in one game. I believe it was
just had to find a way to bring in Luka, you? You just had to find a way.
I'm just saying, I mean, if we're just gonna look at the free throw line, I mean 18-11, Draven, those are great numbers. 4 assists, those are great numbers. I'm just wondering who you're blaming here. Like, is it Giannis?
I think it's both. Well,
the supporting cast on this one again.
I think we need to stop hyping up Giannis so much.
So Giannis is hit the point.
I mean, compare him to Kevin Durant. Like, it's not even close. You know, it's not even close. And
Durant.
KD's coming off an injury. I think many people would have thought Giannis could be better than KD. He's not. He's not.
No, and what Durant's done. I mean, Durant made the right decision by skipping the playoffs last year, skipping the bubble. He could have came back, but he made the right decision to say, nah, I'm going to wait. And because they have managed him properly all year, and he looks to be, you know, back to where he was before. And even on defense, like the regular season took it a little bit easy on defense, but the Nets have been playing defense this series. And Durant, before he was hurt, was sneakily one of the better defenders in the league, especially like in the post. I mean, 7 foot, obviously. Mm. But like if I'm Mike Budenholzer, I'm maybe taking the play out of the playbook that I'm going to try to dump the ball into Brook Lopez to get a post look against Durant, because that one didn't work very well for Brook Lopez. Because, again, Durant's 7 foot and can block. It's like Brook Lopez is some awesome post player that can, like, dunk you through the rim.
He's
he gets
a
down there like
shooter,
well, like, you know, he's not bad in the post, but a lot of his, like, he gets in the post and shoots, like, fadeaways or shoots, like, little jumpers, and Durant can block those.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Shaq back you down and put you in the basket. Or Embiid put you in the basket. It's like, I'm going to shoot fadeaways.
I'd put Chris Middleton on the same level as, like, CJ McCollum, man.
I mean, I think that's
very comparable.
I mean, I think that's pretty fair. I think
never lives up to the moment. Can be decent in regular season, have some moments here or there, but never shines. If you take away that, what did we talk about? What, game four last year where he carried him to a win over the Heat? You take away that, what's Chris Middleton's big moment? Tell me.
He did hit a buzzer beater to beat them
earlier
in game one. Now, you don't remember it because they went ahead and just killed him the other three games. But that was an overtime game. He did hit a buzzer beater. Just to be fair to him, that was a big moment. Again, they swept, so it doesn't really matter. It looks like they would have dominated anyways. Yeah, but he had 27 points, including a game winner there. So I'll give him credit for that. But you know, last year they get eliminated by Miami. He was good in game one, was bad in game two, bad in game three. Game four they win. He scores 36. I guess that was his big moment. But again, you're down 3-1, or 3-0, so how big of a moment was it really? Then in game five, you turn around and go 8-25. So, I mean, like, Middleton hasn't been a good playoff performer. It is accurate, but I think it's just a whole organizational choking in the playoffs thing, because I'm not giving Giannis a pass. Giannis doesn't deserve a pass. Giannis is a different player in the playoffs, and here we are again. And I mean, how long has Giannis been in the league, Cam? I mean, it was 2013, so I mean, he's in year eight. Is that right? But I mean, I want to say it's like year four in a row in terms of getting to the playoffs and just looking over match, like going back to that series where they lost to like Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics, like how can you not beat this team? Like, you're the best player on the court. Like, you're supposed to be this guy and you can't beat Isaiah Thomas. Like, I get there, the one seed,
even,
but like,
was that even Isaiah? I mean, it was like Terry Rozier tearing him up, wasn't it? Wasn't it scary Terry? Yes. That was his big moment.
That was scary Terry. Literally. Yeah, killing Eric Bledsoe, sure. But like, and then yeah, I mean, then they turn around and beat the Celtics the next year, but then, you know, maybe if you're the Bucks, like what you're hanging your hat on now is like maybe you do the reverse 2019 where you're down 2-0 and then you come back and win four in a row, kind of like how Toronto did you, because they're up 2-0, you know, two wins away from the finals, and maybe could have beaten that Golden State team, especially if you knew that Kevin Durant was going to get hurt. And then they lost four in a row, which again, I would say, you know, maybe slow down the sweep talks, because this has happened before. When a team goes home, they can get healthy. But Giannis is a different guy in the playoffs. Like last night, you know, just a pretty quiet 18 points. But Buds, you know, their coach, Budenholzer, he's not good in the playoffs. Chris Middleton's not good in the playoffs.
He's going to be done.
Drew Holiday, you know, everyone loves him, but what's Drew Holiday going to do for you? Like, it wasn't like he was out there getting buckets and helping, you know, keep the team in it. I mean, a pretty quiet 6 of 10. Yeah, he held Kyrie to 22 points, but, like, I mean, Kyrie wasn't struggling. Kyrie went, you know, 9 of 17 from the field, 4 of 8 for 3. I've maintained Drew Holiday is, you know, pretty overrated. Everyone still tries to call him a top 20 player, sneak him in there about how great and underrated he is. But, like, he has got a bunch of guys that aren't playoff proven. Then you got P.J. Tucker, which they go and get him, and he's supposed to be out there stopping Durant. He's getting torched.
He just gets worked.
He puts on three different pairs of shoes during that game last night. Did you guys see that? He had three different pairs of shoes on last night and scored 2 points. So he literally wore more shoes than points he had.
Was he blaming the shoes? Is that
no? He's a sneakerhead, so I guess he likes to show them off. Like,
if I was a teammate, I'd be like, bro, yeah, have you worry about playing some defense or doing something?
Yeah, they literally let this team go 21-42 from three.
Well, that's the other discussion. Is like, maybe there's just something, if you're the Bucks, like you thought you were close, but man, like this Nets team, you know, if they're going to play defense like this, and again, Blake Griffin is going to that dunk on that Blake Griffin had on Giannis. I mean, come on.
Gosh.
If I'm a Detroit fan, like I demand an investigation. I demand like him to repay me some of that salary we bought him out of, because Blake refused to dunk for 2 years, and like not only is he dunking now, he had a nasty putback dunk too in the first quarter. Oof. But he also like sized up Giannis and jammed on him, who's supposed to be like the best defensive player in the league.
But still, man, that's not an excuse. This Nets team's not very good. When you go past KD,
this Nets team's good.
They have James Harden now. When you go past Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, who do they got?
So when you go,
who do they got? So they have no good role players.
So
the Bucks have better role players.
Joe Harris is a great role player.
So when you go past maybe the best player in the league,
I'm just saying, don't bring up role players like that's the reason the Nets are killing them. What are we talking about? Like, no, the Bucks have better role players. There's no excuse for them to be getting beat by 40 points.
Who do the Bucks have that are role players that are good?
Drew Holiday? You just said he. I mean, maybe not top 20, still a good player.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. These guys don't step up in the moment, but
like,
they have better.
Who else?
Have,
like, name more other role players. Like, Brook Lopez is fine. He's not any good. P.J. Tucker's
Bordis,
washed. Bobby
Forbes.
Portis sucks.
Forbes was making everything in the first round.
DiCenzo's hurt, but DiCenzo.
I mean, like losing Dante actually probably did hurt them defensively because, yeah, I mean, at least he was out there. I mean, it was flexible. Yeah. Like, it could, you know, if he got switched on KD, it wasn't the end of the world. Like, KD was probably still going to score. But, like, when you replace his minutes with, you know, more Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis and
– tell me who the Nets have, John. Tell me. They got washed up Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin's better than anybody on the Nets or anybody on the Bucks right
but
now.
But that's my point, man. He shouldn't be. That's my point. I mean, washed up Blake Griffin playing better than freaking Chris Middleton right now. That's a joke. Well, that's on Milwaukee. Let's say it about Blake, Brooklyn. Brooklyn's good. We know that. But, like, come on.
Blake Griffin as a role player, though, is a really, really good role player. Like, Blake Griffin can't be a star
We would
anymore.
Not have been saying that. He was literally not even playing for the last 2 years, basically.
Well, listen to what I'm saying. He is – an elite role player. Like in Detroit, he was supposed to be the guy. You can't be that guy anymore. You can't be a. You talk about beside Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but I don't think you can do that because, I mean, I think anyone would agree it's easier to play basketball next to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving than it would be to play next to Jeremy Grant. So, like, tell me what Blake Griffin did in Detroit.
I mean, that's fun.
Tell me what Blake Griffin did in Detroit. Doesn't matter. Like, Blake Griffin is still one of the smartest basketball players in the NBA. Like, he is still a guy that has a high IQ and a good feel for the game. Like, he's always been a really good basketball player. So when you're asking him to, hey, come out here and be energy, bother Giannis a little bit. Just don't let him, like, push you around. Make the right pass, and if you get an open jumper, hit it. Put back some dunks. Like, he does that pretty well. And, again, I think Joe Harris is pretty good, too. I mean, Joe Harris is one of the better shooters in the league. I mean, Joe Harris helps stretch that floor. And, again, Joe Harris can't be a star. I'm not saying that by any means, but as a role player, he's pretty good. And, I mean, off the bench.
Landry Shamet. He can hit a shot.
Shamet's fine. I'm not going to talk about Shamet. Like, Mike James, there was a couple plays last night where Mike James was blown by Giannis. I'm just like, how the hell is this happening? Like, Giannis gets switched out to Mike James.
Who the hell is Mike James?
A 10-day contract guy that got signed, but, I mean, he scored 10 points.
That's my point, though,
he was
man.
On the Suns.
Like, he was a plus 30 last night. He was a team-high plus 30. Like, Mike James out there giving buckets.
Well, like, just, like, look before this series, right?
Mike James has never been as good as Bobby Portis in the year 2021. So don't tell me Bobby Portis is a good role player and then ask who is Mike
James.
Okay,
that's fine.
Bobby Portis
sucks. You could say it's about the same. And James Harden's out. I mean, you really, like, should we say that at this point in their careers, Giannis should be just as good, if not better, than KD? Coming off of an injury, Giannis has been a two-time MVP. Like, we can make that argument that Giannis should be as good as Kevin Durant at this point.
So, wait, is that the point? Your point is that, like, Giannis
should
be better than Durant?
I'm saying that these teams are, like, more balanced. It's not like the Nets have all these role players. They've literally picked up Blake Griffin in the middle of the season. Washed up Blake Griffin.
If that's your larger point, I won't even necessarily argue with that. But what I'll say is, like, you can't say besides Kyrie and Kevin Durant because both those guys are elite. And, like, Kyrie Irving is so much better than the Bucks' second-best player.
I mean,
Kyrie Irving is much better than Drew Holiday. He's much better than Chris Middleton.
He is, but I'm just saying, I think Bucks fans at least would have thought, hey, Chris Middleton can be that number two, can be just as good as Kyrie, who doesn't even play halfway through the season, who's kind of a crybaby a little bit.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of stuff going on with him.
They've overrated Drew Holiday. They've overrated Chris Middleton. I'm not disagreeing there. I don't think the Nets have a bad team outside of those two. I think they have, you know, good pieces. And, again, this is also keeping in mind, like, these role players look a lot better if the third guy out there is James Harden, which,
yeah.
Imagine if James Harden was in this series, though, man. I mean, like,
no, the Nets look like a juggernaut. I mean, the Nets. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put three of the 15 most talented basketball players in the world together on the same team, and this might be the end result. And again, I think when people were thinking that Brooklyn had a chance of getting beaten earlier this year, that maybe we didn't think that Kevin Durant was going to go back to being one of the two best basketball players in the world, and right now might be the best basketball player in the world. Because, I mean, like, LeBron didn't look like this when he was playing last series. Like,
nope.
Is it not fair to say that Durant's the best player in the league right now? In this setup, like, I mean, I don't know if Durant could go and carry that Lakers team without Anthony Davis. I'm not saying that. And maybe LeBron looks better if he has a better supporting cast and he's healthy, whatever. But, like, right now in this moment in time, is it not Durant's league? Does it not feel like it's Durant's league again?
Sure does.
Now, maybe if it's Durant versus Kawhi in the finals, like, we'll have a different story. Maybe Kawhi will outdo him. But, like, if Durant's going to play like this, and, again, he was giving Giannis buckets last night, 12 of 18, 4 of 6 from 3, you know, just a really, really easy 32 points. 32 points on 18 shots doesn't get much better than that. Like, this Nets team ain't going to lose if that's the Durant we get.
Giannis got to get out of Milwaukee, man. If he wants to do anything, he's got to get out of Milwaukee. Right? You're not going to do anything with this team. Like, there's no way.
Either that or get in the gym and work on your jumper. Am I wrong? Like, I mean, are we giving Giannis a pass again? Because
no, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying. I think he has to have, he has to be almost like the number two guy, in my opinion.
Now, that, you know, if his goal is a championship, I mean, we've always kind of felt that he needs a better ball handler and a perimeter scorer. Like, they thought that was going to be Drew Holiday. But, like, Drew Holiday ain't that guy. At least through two games. Again, maybe they come back in Milwaukee and get healthy. And when I say healthy, I just mean just play better and, like, feel better about themselves. Not that they're injured, because they're not, outside of, you know, Dante, but he's not coming back. But, like, I'm not giving Giannis a pass. Get out of Milwaukee. How about you get in the gym? How about you to develop a 18-foot jumper?
That's all you need. I saw something. He's, like, I think 6 of 35 in jump shots so
And, like, he just keeps, he, you know, last night, you know, there's, I don't want to say they were making a comeback, but, like, they'd get it to, like 18, 19, 20, like, okay, maybe you can make a little push, get it back in, and then he'd walk into a three and just clank it so hard off the backboard of the back rim, like, it wouldn't even be close. And then you'd go to the free throw line and miss two free throws. Like, I'm not giving Giannis a pass. If you want to give Luka a pass, whatever, that's fine. But, like, Giannis is in year eight. Giannis is a two-time MVP. Like, this franchise has been molded around him. I mean, I think we'd all agree this roster is pretty good. You just said it was just as good as Brooklyn, so, like, the difference to you is Giannis is getting outplayed by Durant.
I'm saying Giannis is a number two. He's not a number one. I think we completely have overrated Giannis the last couple of years.
I think if I'm Giannis, I'd be like, hey, man, why do we not go get Chris Paul? Why do we get Drew Holiday and say Chris Paul? Like, I mean, like, I was like, you put Chris Paul on this team, and they're probably up 2-0. Or at least 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, them losing Bogdan, I mean, we said at the time, Cam, it was a huge loss. And, like, if you put him on this team, like, another ball handler and somebody could actually hit shots and not be scared of the moment, like, yeah, this team is a lot better. So, you know, that sucks for them. They tried. But, like, again, they went all in for Drew Holiday. And until further notice, like, Drew Holiday's not that guy. And I called it at the time. I say he's the most overrated player in the league. People act like he's this guy. He's a nice player. He's solid. He can't be the second-best player on a championship team. He can be third, I guess, if the second is better than Chris Middleton, but, like, he can't be the second best player on a championship team, and he just can't. Like, Chris Paul can't. And what the Suns did last night, that was pretty impressive. Chris Paul looked back last night. And, you know, not to overreact, but the Nuggets are going to have to do some things differently. They're going to have to get some help because Booker and Paul and really DeAndre Ayton just did whatever they wanted. And it seems like Phoenix has all the juice in that series, and they're going to be a matchup problem for them.
What a run they had in that third quarter.
Yeah, were they going 17-0 run, something like that?
I think maybe an 18. Okay. 18-0 run, yeah. Crowd just fired up, too, with each shot.
No, the crowd was rocking. The Valley was rocking. And, yeah, I mean, like, they looked healthy. And Chris Paul's getting switched out and just hitting his mid-range jumpers again. He put them to sleep just like he put the Lakers to sleep in Game 6. Start of the fourth quarter, Paul came out and hit, you know, like three straight jumpers, basically.
And a big difference as well is DeAndre Ayton just not getting in foul trouble, right? Just being out there and affecting Jokic. Well, okay, that's huge.
You know, that was a part of the reason you wanted Chris Paul in there is because you could say, like, at the very least, DeAndre Ayton could be Tyson Chandler from, like, prime, you know, Hornets days when, you know, Chris Paul molded him into just being a really good defensive and alley-oop catcher. Like, in Ayton, he's put him in the right position and this, you know, made him a good player. And he looked last night, he basically went head-to-head with Jokic and they had similar numbers, and if you're the Nuggets, you're not going to win unless Jokic is the best player on the court. And last night, he was barely even better than DeAndre Ayton. But if I'm a Bucks guy, I'm like, oh, man, we could have had Chris Paul. And, like, that trade was rumored for 2 years. Like, you could have easily went and gotten him.
Yep.
You could have gotten paid to take him. I mean, like,
gosh.
Like, the Thunder got paid to take him. They got two first-round picks and two pick swaps to take him. That's the type of guy Giannis might need, so, like, where he could still maybe be the number one, but he's not the closer, and he's not got the pressure on him. Yeah. Again, they thought Drew Holiday was going to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
Where does Chris Paul rank in just, like, fourth-quarter players, man? Just closeout players?
Top five, man. Like, that's why it's, like, you'll appreciate this, and I do feel this. I felt this way for a while. I feel like he is the Tony Romo of the NBA. Now, I think Chris Paul ranks higher all-time than Tony Romo.
Yeah.
But, like, for his era, like, I mean, Romo always got labeled as a choker because his team didn't win. And, yeah, he did have a couple bad moments. They're always on TV, so, like, they were even worse. But, like, Romo was awesome, and Romo was the fourth quarter, like, highest-rated passer for, like, much of that time. They were calling him a choker.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Paul is one of the best closers in the league, if not the best. Like, statistically, his playoff numbers are better than his regular season numbers, but we label him as a choker because they haven't won big. Romo didn't get a chance to play with that 2016 team that was loaded. And, you know, he got robbed of the win in Green Bay when they could have gone and beat Seattle and maybe won a Super Bowl. Chris Paul's got a chance right now to kind of rewrite his narrative, kind of do the John Elway, the Dirk Nowitzki type of thing where you kind of can shift the narrative. John Elway was a choker until he won the Super Bowl. Dirk was a guy that couldn't win that, you know, lost as a 1 seed to an 8 seed until he got that championship. Chris Paul isn't as good as Dirk was during that run, but, like, Chris Paul, man, like, was just a maestro last night. And the West seems open. It don't even seem open. They seem like the best team in the West now. Maybe that changes. They play the Clippers, and, like, Chris Paul has to go up against Kawhi and Paul George, and, like, you remember, like, oh, yeah, this is why people who are 6 feet don't really win in the playoffs because they're too long and you could shut them down. But he's got a chance to kind of change the narrative, and last night he was awesome. So where's he like rank in terms of the fourth quarter closers? I mean, he's top five. I mean,
for sure.
He'll always be behind guys like LeBron and Durant just because they're bigger and can get their shot off. But like Paul can get that little 15-foot jumper anytime he wants it.
Mm. Put him over Dame.
No, Dame's good. Dame's elite. Now, Dame doesn't win. Like, I think Paul impacts winning more than Dame does. But like, I don't know if you can. I mean, I don't know if you could drop Chris Paul on that Blazers team and get better results, although, like, he did take the Thunder to the same place Dame just took that team. That Thunder team was trying to tank. So, like, I think Chris Paul wins more. I think he's a better winner. But, like, no, I mean, Dame's about as good of a closer as he can get because he can get those 30-foot jumpers whenever he wants. Paul doesn't really shoot those.
His shoulder looked really good, though, in this series.
He looked healthy. He didn't look healthy in the first quarter. He looked bad in the first quarter. Yeah. Even really the whole first half. But second half, he looked good. Hour one of the books. We kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.